The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Morning Answer would like to know what you're thinking. Call 877-590-5843.
You know, everybody's talking about what did they take in Mar-a-Lago and what were they looking for and all this kind of stuff. Maybe they didn't really go in there to take things. That was just a cover for maybe planting bugs all over the house, electronic ones, so that they can spy on him during the whole presidential campaign. Maybe they went in there to leave things.
It's The Morning Answer.
Thanks for joining us. It is a Thursday here on The Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And this is a story that involves California companies and is not getting a ton of attention from the mainstream media. So, Grant, I want you to think back in time to the beginning of the pandemic. So, 2020, probably spring, about a good time to think back to.
Yes.
When a lot of companies were shut down, basically, by the government, they weren't allowed to operate in their normal ways because of the COVID pandemic. And many companies that could were asked to help produce products and products that the government could use to help, and I'll use air quotes here, keep people safe.
Okay.
So one of the things that happened is that people who produced wine or alcohol, distilleries essentially, were asked to produce hand sanitizer, right, in large numbers. Well, there is a company that is speaking out and blowing the whistle, if you will.
Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle.
On just what the government is doing to punish their good deeds. CalWise Spirits Company has been founded by Aaron Berg. He has been a voice to this problem. The first person I've heard speak out about this. And he's got a California distillery, so he's based here in our state. And during the pandemic, he was called upon to use his facility to produce hand sanitizer. There was a huge demand for hand sanitizer. And with most of it, by the way, he donated it to the government. He donated it to federal agencies. He gave it away. He gave it away to people, the State Department, the FBI. He gave away most of it. I think he only sold a small amount of the hand sanitizer that he actually made. And he did it at reasonable prices because this was a demand and he was trying to do what was right to help keep people safe. Well, fast forward a bit to December 2020. And at this time, President Trump is in the White House and the FDA comes knocking on his door with an audit. Auditing his operations because he made hand sanitizer and they wanted to charge him $14,000 for doing it, even though he gave most of his product away. They were interested in auditing how much he made from the hand sanitizer as opposed to how much he produced or even how much was donated. They just wanted to know how much the monetary value was worth. Well, when the Trump administration found out that the FDA was doing this, they said, no, you answered the call of the government. We let this go. And they let all of these audits of these companies by the FDA go because they were answering the call of a pandemic. Makes sense, right?
Right.
Until the Biden administration.
Oh, brother, this damn Biden administration is always getting in the way of good things.
Chairman Biden, in June of 2022, so just a couple of months ago, 18 months after the FDA had come into his business, taken samples, and found out that he had donated all of the last of his remaining inventory to assist medical efforts in the Haitian earthquake, which happened in 2021, he gets a letter from the FDA alleging that his hand sanitizer contained an unacceptable level of a chemical, acetaldehyde, which is an organic compound naturally found in beverages like spirits, wines, coffee. It's even found in fruit juice. Okay. And because he used that chemical, which is even on the generally safe list by the FDA, they want to start fining him for that use and make him go through the process of issuing out a recall for hand sanitizer that has probably already been used, essentially declaring war again on these businesses now in the effort to crack down on people who aren't working for green purposes. Here's a little bit from Aaron Berg, who talks about the FDA. Take a listen.
Back in December 2020, the FDA came through and they audited my business, as well as dozens of other distilleries throughout the country. And they tried to slap every single distillery throughout the country, regardless of whether we gave it away or made only 5 gallons of it, with a $14,000 flat fee for making it. We thought that would be the end of it, but here we are 2 years later, and the FDA is coming back to audit distillers again, even though we have not produced hand sanitizer for over 2 years. Acetaldehyde.
I got it. Okay, this is your business, all right, here on screen. The levels of this in your sanitizer was 160 parts per million, right? In wine,
right,
you've got 229, in spirits, 104, and fruit juice, you got 230. Why is this a danger or a contaminant or...
That's a really good question, because it's actually even included on the FDA's list of generally recognized as safe for addition to adding as a flavoring additive to food and beverages. So I'm not sure why. It doesn't make any sense to me. It helped us back in 2020 when the FDA tried to charge that $14,000 fee on us. It's just awareness. And, Congress is passing a bill to create 87,000 IRS agents. And this is just a foreshadowing of what's going to come to America if people don't wake up and realize what our government is doing.
Yeah. It really is frightening. Think about this. I mean, this seems to me like the persecution of an innocent company. Why are they doing this?
Yep. And this is a relatively small business. And already we've seen California, we've seen the federal government try to push back on small businesses, to try to assert their power over it. Now the FDA is disincentivizing small businesses from acting as, and really this was a Good Samaritan act, right? His business is not hand sanitizer. His business is wine and spirits. But he did this because we were going through a pandemic. And so now this business has been slapped first with a $14,000 fine, which was removed by the Trump administration, but now going through a full other audit process, and now they're looking at the chemicals that he used to make the hand sanitizer. And it seems that there are more chemicals in fruit juice than they are in the hand sanitizer that he gave away to try to fight off a pandemic.
Man, oh man, oh man. I've been warning for a long time that fruit juice is really unhealthy too,
no,
by the way.
But I mean, when you think about this, and it's something that we talked about with Stephen Moore, our chief economist here, with the government, you are guilty until you prove yourself innocent, not vice versa. This is not how our system is supposed to work. You don't need a regime like the Biden administration coming in and going through every record in your business and all of your processes and such, because you were doing something good for the country.
So
you were answering a call.
Think about this guy. So this is one example now. I promise you, with the hiring of 87,000 IRS agents, this is only going to continue. We're going to be hearing these stories left and right. I'm afraid to be a businessman in this day and age. I really am. I'm afraid. Tax avoidance is patriotic. Tax evasion is illegal. All right? Don't evade taxes. Avoiding taxes is completely legal. That's using the law to your advantage to avoid paying taxes that you don't have to pay, that you shouldn't have to pay. Remember that. Tax avoidance is patriotic. Tax evasion is illegal. And I promise you, the IRS agents are going to be going after people who are avoiding taxes through laws that the government created, whether it's putting your money in real estate and getting tax write-offs for it, whether it's hiring certain employees, you name it.
It's just disturbing when you realize, like, health departments were going after people here in California. Now you got the IRS doubling in size and weaponizing literally with guns and ammunition. And now you have even reports of the FDA going after businesses. Who is going to be stupid enough at this point to start a small business? And that is the heart and soul of this country. 855-785-8255.
I'm really ashamed of my government.
It is. It's a disheartening time right now, that's for sure. As we continue, it seems the House has some big decisions to make about the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. Our friend, Congressman Mike Garcia, will join us with his vote as your Thursday Morning Answer continues.
More ladylike than Cinderella. More manly than Sasquatch. Back to Grant Stinchfield and Jennifer Horn on The Morning Answer.
Thanks for joining us Thursday here on The Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield. Jen, you just tweeted me this, or I guess you tweeted it to me or sent it to me, this
Fire-nado.
Of this fire-nado of the Sam fire, and the winds are whipping and they're swirling and they create a basically a tornado of fire. It's quite amazing.
Seriously. It makes Sharknadoes look like nothing.
I tweeted it out, add sharks to this, you'd get fried Sharknado.
Oh, there you go, which could be the next version of that, because I think they've only made like 12 Sharknado films so far.
Stinchfield 1776, you can see it on Twitter. Hey, I also got a comment back that said, this is not a tornado, a fire tornado. It's a fire whirl is the appropriate term.
Whatever it is, it looks like a fire tornado, and it looks scary. It looks like something I don't want to be near, that's
for
sure.
People love to just correct you for anything.
For anything. Exactly, just anything. Yeah. All right, that song, it means it is time to welcome in our friend, our Morning Answer expert, Congressman Mike Garcia, who is currently the congressman for California's 25th Congressional District, running for re-election in the newly drawn 27th Congressional District. And Congressman Garcia, welcome back to the Morning Answer. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks again for having me.
Were your ears burning last night, Mike?
No, I didn't. I missed it. By the way, it's a vortex. It's a fire vortex. So.
There you go.
Fire vortex. I like it. So we had the Great American Cigar Night last night with Dennis Prager, and we were all out at the Stone House in Westlake Village. Maybe you've been there. Fantastic venue. Beautiful place.
Great place.
We had some great Morning Answer Dennis Prager listeners out there. And I see one of our listeners walk in wearing a Mike Garcia hat. And of course, I'm like, Mike Garcia, I love it. He's like, love it. I wear this hat all the time. The guy I was standing with talking said, I had that hat on when I was out swimming last weekend. And someone came up to me and said, that's the greatest congressman this area has ever had.
No, that's awesome.
These are people from Santa Clarita, Mike. They are right in your district. So I just wanted to tell you, you had lots of fans out there last night.
Well, it's very humbling. We've got a lot of great support, and we've got to do it all over again. You know, we got to run every 2 years. So these folks are out and about helping us with the branding and the marketing, and I'm very proud of that. And I don't take that lightly.
Absolutely.
You know, it was a Mike Garcia UFC hat. It was the UFC fighter, Mike Garcia.
No, these are fighter pilot Mike Garcia hats. They're cool
looking. I can get. Whatever branding I can get, I'll take it, guys. We need all the help we can in California.
Well, speaking of your job, your responsibilities, I believe it's tomorrow that we've got a big vote coming up on the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which isn't. So what are you going to do? What are Republicans going to do? We understand that Nancy Pelosi can only afford to lose 4 votes. Does that seem about right? What's the situation right now in the House?
Yeah, the latest I've heard is a 3-vote majority, you know, but it's deja vu all over again. If you remember with the America Rescue Plan and Build Back Better, it was all kind of the same scenario where she either didn't have the votes, or if she did have the votes, it was by a very slim margin. And then, you know, as everyone shows up to Washington, D.C., and they start hanging out with the other socialists, and then Nancy waterboards them in the back room, they all change their mind. And so it's going to pass. I'm hopeful that no Republicans vote for it, but I am, you know, being realistic in saying that it's going to get through the House and probably be signed into law. And this one is a very dangerous one. It does the opposite of what it's, you know, being touted as. It's not an Inflation Reduction Act. It's going to aggravate inflation. It's going to aggravate our debt. They've done some funny math to try to fuzz this up a little bit, but the reality is this is about $745 billion. About half of it goes to the Green New Deal initiatives. It's aggravating. It's going to add to the $31 trillion worth of debt now. And 87,000 IRS agents are going to be hired, and about 2/3 of those IRS agents are going to be hired to go after tax filers and do the audits. So this is, again, just another weaponization of another federal agency to help pay the bills so that these socialists can continue to win elections and give money away to the folks that they think are going to vote for them. And they're clamoring for power at this point. This is a fadeaway shot before November, and it's going to be one of the last votes we take, unfortunately.
You know, Congressman, it's been a really bad week for America, certainly for conservatives. I mean, you're going to have this thing go through. It looks like we had the FBI raid President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home in Florida, and it just never seems to end. I take it your home hasn't been raided. My home hasn't been raided yet. But, you know, it seems like Americans are waiting for that to happen to them. They're next.
Yeah, and it's not just a bad week for conservatives. I think it's a bad week for Americans. It's a bad week for the Constitution. This is literally a demonstration of what tyranny of the majority looks like. When you abuse the majority, you lose the majority. And I think this is an eye opener to the middle third that's going, holy cow, this, you know, we get it. You don't like Trump, but good Lord, what else are we going to do to this guy? He's not in office anymore. And we get it. You don't like the conservatives, but at some point you've got to actually legislate and do your job and fix these problems instead of trying to distract all of us with this circus and these show trials. And I think the average American's waking up to it. So it's not just bad for conservatives. It's bad for the whole country, but it's also going to be bad for Democrats in the fall. I think this all boomerangs on them. There will be investigations when we get the majority back to make sure that we're holding some of these folks accountable that have actually committed a lot of fraud and abuse. And there's a lot of questions to be answered. And so there will be a reckoning here. And I don't think that this is going to be a positive for the Democrats in the November election. And we still have a blizzard of crises among us that we've got to address these issues that are now, you know, 6 to 8 year problems.
You know, get your gut instinct here. What I've seen is a lot of people who were questioning whether or not Donald Trump was the right person to run in 2024 or Ron DeSantis, because we all feel like we have this weaponizing happening. It seems that more Republicans are actually coalescing behind former President Trump. Would you agree with that, Mike, in your circles?
You know, I'm hearing both sides of the coin. I think there's a visceral reaction to want to defend him again. But I think the trend is among his major donors, among his major supporters. I know folks who have, you know, given his campaign $1 million that still believe he shouldn't run again. And one of the rationales for that is that, you know, we have, like I said, 6 to 8 year problems. And whether you like Donald Trump or expect him or want him to run again, he's going to come in with a term limit. He's going to come in with only a 4 year term, and it's a lame duck mentality at that point. So, you know, we'll see. I'm not going to prognosticate on who's running and how this primary is going to go. But I do know that the guy in the Oval Office right now is extremely dangerous.
And he's got to go.
People around him are dangerous, and we've got to win this election.
And
this,
Mike,
should be the easiest presidential election for a conservative to win in the last 100 years. And if it's not, then this party, the Republican Party, has done something terribly wrong, because we could not let the country to continue this nosedive.
We're up against the clock, but I do want to play you a quick clip. This is from Christy Smith, who is running against you in your district, and we're only going to have about 30 seconds for you to respond. But take a listen to what she had to say earlier in the week.
And the first thing I always notice about a box of crayons is you open it up and you look inside, and there's a whole lot of different colors. But they're all getting along just fine. Tight in that box, just as God intended. They all get along just fine.
Now, that was her in front of a black church. It was kind of maybe, I don't know, we're a box of crayons before Hispanics were
Unreal.
A group of tacos from Jill Biden. So
yeah.
What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, we've got the first lady calling Hispanics, calling us tacos. She's calling, equating blacks to a box of crayons. This is you know, Christy Smith is the Kamala Harris of California. She's really not likable. She doesn't know how to communicate. She's wrong on the issues. And the only thing she's got going for, she's running in a blue district, and it's very challenging for me to keep winning the seat. But I've been blessed with good opponents in the form of people who don't work hard, can't raise money, and can't message. She's at the peak of that pyramid of opposition. But we've got to make sure she doesn't win this election in November. And so we need all the help we can get.
Check him out. ElectMikeGarcia.com, ElectMikeGarcia.com, and on Twitter at ElectMikeGarcia or RepMikeGarcia. And Congressman, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks. You too, guys. Appreciate it.
There he goes. As we continue, it is a one-year anniversary for the withdrawal from Afghanistan. A Navy SEAL, Eddie Penny, joins us with a brand new book. As your Thursday Morning Answer continues.
Breaking news and expert commentary. This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us Thursday here on your Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield. And Jen, a special segment for me today because I got a buddy with me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, Grant. I knew I'd grow on you.
You did. Yeah, I mean, of course. Oh. Well, you know, you're my ultimate buddy of all buddies. But, you know, that song that we just heard coming in, it is so easy, I think, for people to say, oh, I'm afraid. I have no fear. I'm going to move forward, do all these things. I call bogus. I think everybody, no matter what, I think even Navy SEALs, no matter what they tell you, will at some point experience fear. What separates the men from the boys is how you deal with that fear, how you use that fear to keep moving forward, to excel at what you're doing, and maybe even have the ability to use it into your benefit. So I know right now I have some fear of where America is headed. But I will tell you this, that fear is not going to stop me from waging the fight that I want to wage to make sure that we keep America headed in the direction that I want it headed in, right? So it's how you channel that fear. Well, Eddie Penny is a former Navy SEAL in one of the elite units of the Navy SEAL unit. I got to train with him. I've become friends with him over the years. And he just wrote a book, which is just out now, called Unafraid, Staring Down Terror as a Navy SEAL and a Single Dad. And the single dad may have been the most frightening of all, probably. But with that, I want to bring in my good buddy, Eddie Penny. Eddie, welcome to the program. So you wrote a book called Unafraid. Are you really telling me you had no fear out there?
No. And what's funny is your introduction, you pretty much laid it out. Yeah, we all you know, get that fear or we're afraid of something, but there is that fine line of like, okay, do I let that beat me, overcome me, and I quit, whatever that might be, or do I rise up, find a way, take that first step, and destroy whatever obstacles in front of me? So that's where the unafraid is.
You know, Eddie, I want to thank you because I think a lot of men, and I don't think a lot of men would want to admit, number one, that they're afraid of anything, but I think a lot of men who are faced with the challenge of being a dad tend to run, and they don't tend to stick it out. And it's caused a big cultural problem in our country because there are a lack of fathers. And so I want to commend you for sticking it out, even if you were a little afraid. What was your journey into being a single dad all about?
I appreciate that, and you're right. Yeah, the fatherless home, that's definitely the real pandemic of what we got going on in this country. It was tough, you know, after being through the military for, you know, 20 years and going through some of the rigorous schools that we would say are the hardest in our country and possibly the world. You know, that was definitely tough, but getting sole responsibility for three children, learning how to do pigtails, change diapers, diaper rash, what they eat for food, it's just like it was mind-blowing, and I was very unequipped, and I had to rise up, and it was the greatest and hardest challenge that I've ever done in my life. But at the end of the day, those kids saved my life, and I learned so much from them and about myself that it was just a wonderful experience.
So, Eddie, your book, and it takes leadership to be a dad, right? And I'm sure you learned that in as a SEAL. And then it takes leadership, of course, to move through what we're going through right now. So if you could, can you tell me maybe one of the worst moments where you experienced fear in battle as a SEAL or on a mission as a SEAL, and what happens in your mind to overcome that?
I get the biggest fear. I mean, there's a lot of fears when people are trying to kill you. I guess my biggest fear that's coming to the top of my head right now is when I lost a couple buddies right next to me. And realize that, you know, this Navy SEAL or us Navy SEALs, we're not invincible. We're human. We bleed. We have flesh. And noticing that the upper hand was on us now, and we were almost kind of like the victims, is there's that moment, and I can recall this like it was yesterday, is you have that moment like, okay, what do you do? You have really, there's one option. Actually, there's two. You cower down and become weak and get destroyed, or you rise up and you take it to the enemy and move on to live another day. And that's what happened. That's what I did. And obviously a lot of training got me to that point, but I think we go through it daily. I use the quote all the time, like we face battles daily. So daily prepare for war, no matter what we're doing. If you're a school teacher, a cop, or, you know, you guys on the radio station or whatever your job or a single parent, like, every day's a battle. And just your battlefield looks different. It's like you need to decide how are you going to make your situation better. And a lot of us fail at that. I know I did when I was going through. It's like, okay, wait a second. Stop feeling sorry for myself. Where can I be proactive in making things better? And that's what we need to do as a country.
And I think that's the jump, right? There are a lot of people. And Eddie Penny is with us, by the way, Navy SEAL, writer of the book Unafraid. You can get more information, eddiepenny.com. Look for Unafraid book. But Eddie, you know, in California particularly, when things feel so lost, or in our own personal lives, when things feel so lost, it is easier just to say, you know what, I don't want to try anymore. How did you dig deep to save your own life, to jump into that role? It sounds like a great single dad. How do you dig deep to get that fight back? Because a lot of times people, when they are scared, just want to run away.
Very true. It's kind of how I'm very big in the mindset. The unafraid mindset is what I preach, give talks on, is we got to flip the script. Instead of looking like, this is so hard, why is this happening to me, why me, does this happen to other people? The answer is yes. And a lot of the other people's situations are way worse than what you are dealing with. And there's some very bad situations. Instead of looking at it as why me, look at it as I'm being trained right now. And I know that when this storm passes, I am much stronger. I'm going to be better off. And I will be able to take on the next obstacle. And the greatest thing about that is you get to help others that are going through the same stuff that you just walked out of. That right there is beauty.
Yeah, you know, that's all about moving forward and winning, right? And I think a lot of this book is about moving forward and winning, and even in the face of danger and fear, whether it's with family fear, whether it's battlefield fear. You had a quote in your book by Teddy Roosevelt. I've read this quote over and over again before leading up to your book. It's about being in the arena. Let me just read it. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. So at his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Now, that's from Teddy Roosevelt. Now, I take it to one extra level, Eddie. Mm-hmm. You can put yourself in the arena. But I had a football coach who says, yes, you can step on the field. It doesn't mean you're in the game. You have to put yourself in the frame. And he meant by in the frame, meaning the best players on the field were not the ones often carrying the ball, but they were always in the local paper around the ball. I say put yourself not just in the arena, but around the ball as well. Eddie Penny, the last word.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a problem. We can see it all over media and anywhere else, as we like to put down people, rip on people. And it kind of goes back to what mom and dad said when you were growing up. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say it. I really believe in that. But it shouldn't stop us. It should not deter us. We need to, if we're the ones in the arena, everyone else is just a critic. And that's it. That's what it is. That's fine. You can take those opinions. You can take those voices. And you can either let it bring you down, or you can use it to motivate you. I love the haters. I love when people say I can't do something. I mean, it's all in my book. You're gonna take care of three kids by yourself? Yes. Yeah. Like, don't. It's like, you know, don't. It's not. Don't try me or try me. It's like, just watch what I can do. Like, bring it on. And you just gotta pump yourself up for whatever gets thrown at us. Because once you're done with one obstacle, there will be another, yeah. And you're just better off then. So, and that's okay. That's all right.
Well, Eddie, that quote right there, when you're in the arena, everyone else is just a critic. That's freaking brilliant.
Yep.
And, dude, the book is great. Unafraid. I started reading it on my trip to Florida just this weekend. I urge everyone to go out there and get it. You've been a very good friend to me. Eddie Penny, a true hero to America. What a great friend to this nation. And, buddy, God bless you. Thank you for coming on today.
God bless you. Thank you both. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Eddie Penny, eddiepenny.com, P-E-N-N-E-Y, and get that book, Unafraid, Staring Down Terror as a Navy SEAL and a Single Dad. I also want to remind you, if you need something fun to do, how about going to the VIP premiere of Uncle Tom 2? That's right. The first one was great. The second one is set to be even better. Uncle Tom 2, the exclusive screening, is coming with special guest Larry Elder. The Sage will be there. Tickets are on sale right now. You can get regular tickets for $29. You can get a VIP meet and greet with Larry for just $99 before the show. All tickets include a one-hour Q&A with Larry after the show. For tickets, go to am870.info, keyword uncle, to purchase. This is at the AMC 30 in Orange County. am870.info. Use keyword uncle and come on out. Don't miss the premiere of Uncle Tom 2 with our friend the Sage, Larry Elder, as your Thursday Morning Answer continues.
The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
I want everybody to go home.
We don't got no home. Okay. That's why we're here.
It's The Morning Answer.
Welcome to your Thursday morning answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
I don't know what I was waiting for. I was just grooving. I was feeling the movement on a Thursday. Practicing for Friday, as we do around here. And you know who else is practicing for Friday? Watch this transition. The FBI director, Christopher Wray. I think he'd like a weekend. He has had a difficult time this week trying to answer some questions about just what was going on with the raid from the FBI on Mar-a-Lago. The FBI director, Christopher Wray, yesterday pushed back on social media threats made against him and other law enforcement officers following the unprecedented raid at President Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. On Monday, after the FBI executed a raid, people wanted to know who ordered this. Did Christopher Wray know about this raid as director of the FBI? Was Merrick Garland, the attorney general, in on the fun? Who was behind this? And Christopher Wray says that he is now concerned that there could be some politics being played in his organization. But do we believe he's going to do anything about it, Grant?
Politics being played. Come on, give me a break. He's also saying he's worried about the agents that were on the raid, which is all part of the left-wing talking points of somehow that conservatives will engage in violence against them. He knew, obviously, that this raid was going to take place. It had to have gone through his office. Now Merrick Garland saying, oh, it was all Christopher Wray, it wasn't us, and they're playing the blame game. I promise you everybody inside the Justice Department knew about this. I do believe that maybe they underestimated the backlash they would get from it. But how could they? These people have been around politics for a long time. They had to know the backlash of doing an unprecedented search on a former president's home.
And, you know, we've been talking a lot about whether or not, as we like to call him here, Chairman Biden, knew about this raid of Mar-a-Lago. And you contended, Grant, and this could be true, that they want to keep him out of the loop because they want him to be able to say he didn't know what was going on. I believe that he probably did. But the New York Times, there was a story that came out in March saying that Biden was frustrated with Attorney General Garland for not prosecuting Donald Trump. If that's true, he's using the mainstream media to communicate his desires and wants to the Attorney General without actually giving him an order. If this were President Trump, I promise you that the news media would have been all over this. But because the news media is the public relations branch of the Democrat Party, they don't say a word about it.
You know, I think there's part of the news media that doesn't want to cover the story.
I think so, too, because they know it looks bad. Even the USA Today is questioning it today.
Yeah, it's especially if what all the evidence that's coming out is that this is over cocktail napkins and notes to the president.
Right.
Menus. I mean, come on. Give me a break. There were presidents long before him, including Lyndon Johnson, going all the way through the Clintons, that had taken all kinds of mementos from the White House that were not theirs, that were the people's.
And were actually of value. I mean, the Clintons took out $150,000 worth of stuff from the White House. President Trump taking some documents and we don't even know what they are, if they were classified or not. By the very nature, the president declassified things. So anything that he would have taken was by its very nature declassified. Now, also going on, and this story is an interesting one. It makes you focus back on the border and just the gaping holes in our national security. A member of the Iranian government's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps was charged with a murder-for-hire plot. They're trying to assassinate, of all people, Ambassador John Bolton, former National Security Advisor John Bolton, who was working with the Trump administration until they had a falling out.
He turned on him.
The Justice Department unsealed charges yesterday, accusing Shahram Porsafi of attempting to murder John Bolton in retaliation for the United States strike that killed Soleimani in January of 2020. He was charged with the use of interstate commerce facilities in the commission of murder for hire, with providing and attempting to provide material support for a transnational murder plot. The Justice Department said he attempted to pay U.S.-based individuals $300,000 to carry out the murder in either Washington, D.C. or Maryland. And it was revealed that there was also another plot that was hatched, this one with a higher price tag of $1 million. At first, no one knew who that target was. Now we are being told that that target was Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State. Ambassador John Bolton spoke to CNN yesterday.
John Bolton, Ambassador Bolton, thanks so much for joining us. The suspect put a $300,000 price tag on your head. What goes through your mind, Ambassador, hearing the details of this plot as explained today in great detail by the U.S. Justice Department?
Well, I was embarrassed at the low price. I would have thought it would have been higher, but, you know, I guess maybe it was the exchange rate problem or something. I read the document with great interest. I had
let me just say
too
this.
Low a price.
Cut this off before we go. You know what the absolute shame all this is? We continue the Iran nuclear talks. It should have been an instant pullout from talking about that. But instead, we move forward with that if they try to assassinate American officials.
Like him or hate him, the Iranians should not be trying to assassinate former officials in this country. And this administration should be ashamed of themselves for continuing to negotiate and for leaving our borders open and unprotected so that those people can come into this country as well. Thanks for joining us today. Make it a great Thursday. It's 9 o'clock.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.